Chapter 10, Days of Affliction, printed in the Review and Herald, May 9, 1935. The permission granted to Satan to bring affliction upon Job, and the power of the enemy to bring bodily affliction when permitted by God, is written for our admonition. It enables us to understand some of the mysterious providences that try the patience and the steadfastness of God's children. The fierceness of Satan's hatred for the publication of the present truth, and the contemplated paper supporting confidence in the Advent faith, was indicated by his bold and repeated attacks on James White and his family, as shown in the following incidents. Early in August 1850, Elder Rhodes, who had been at the Harris home counseling with James White regarding plans for the review, was ready to leave for Michigan. James and Ellen White accompanied him about 2 miles to Port Byron, where he boarded a canal boat headed for Lake Erie. Their child, Edson, then about 1 year old, had been sick for some time, and they had been praying for him 3 times daily. Sometimes he seemed to be gaining, but their faith was severely tried many times when his symptoms became alarming. On their return home from Port Byron, Sister Harris met them at the door, exclaiming, "Your child is struck with death." They found him with eyes closed, his skin purple, and unconscious. "There is but one thing we can do," said his mother, "that is to follow the Bible rule and call the elders." Elder Rhodes, who had just left on the canal boat, was the only one within reach. So Elder White, with horse and carriage, drove down the towpath, following the canal boat on which Elder Rhodes had taken passage. After driving 5 miles, he overtook the boat and brought Elder Rhodes back. They anointed the child and prayed for him. Soon Edson opened his eyes, and a light shone upon his features. This they accepted as an assurance that the power of the enemy was broken. It was not long before the malignity of Satan was manifested in another way. Elder White began to suffer with cramps accompanied by excruciating pain. It was apparent that something must be done immediately. 3 women, Mrs. Harris, Ellen White, and her sister Sarah, were alone with him. The suffering man asked for prayer. With trembling, his wife laid her hand upon his head and fervently prayed the Lord to reveal his power. An immediate answer was granted. The natural color of his face returned, and the light of heaven beamed upon his countenance. All present were filled with unspeakable gratitude for this signal answer to prayer. The conflict was renewed again that night. About midnight, screams were heard from the room above the one in which Elder White and his wife were sleeping. They hastened upstairs and saw Edson in Miss Bonfoy's arms, clinging frantically to her. They saw him release his clutch and fighting the air with both hands as he cried in terror, "No, no!" Then he clung more closely to his attendant. They could not see the cause of his terror, but feeling certain that one of Satan's angels was endeavoring to torture the child, they knelt in prayer. "In the name of the Lord," the father rebuked the evil spirit. Immediately the child became quiet and soon fell asleep, remaining so for the rest of the night. But before the parents could resume their interrupted sleep, James White began to suffer intense pain. Once again his wife knelt by his side and prayed the Lord to strengthen their faith. Together they repeated the words, "Thou hast heard prayer. Thou hast wrought. We believe without a doubt. Carry on the work thou hast begun." For 2 hours they pleaded before the Lord, till the afflicted one fell asleep. The following morning they were due in Auburn, where they were to receive proofs of the Advent review. They fully believed that the experiences through which they had passed were the work of Satan to hinder them. They decided to go forward in faith, trusting in the Lord for strength. Although very weak, James White arose and dressed. Brother Harris prepared the carriage, and with the aid of Miss Bonfoy, helped Elder White into it. It was necessary for them to keep their faith in constant exercise and their minds stayed upon God. But the sick man gained strength as they journeyed, and they realized the peace of God in their hearts. In the evening, with fresh copies of the Advent Review, they returned to Centerport, feeling assured that they were in the path of duty. The blessing of God continued to rest upon them, and although they had been greatly buffeted by Satan, they rejoiced in their victory through Christ, who had strengthened them. While getting out the 6 numbers of the Advent Review, they worked early and late. Often, they did not take time to sit at the table to eat their meals, but with a bit of food in hand, would eat and work at the same time. Not long after these experiences, there was a call for them to visit Volney, New York. They were obliged to make the 12-mile trip in a big farm wagon with a high front seat. At a place where the road ran beside a high bank, the horses, without any apparent reason, shied from the road and swerved the wagon into the bank, causing it to overturn and to throw them violently to the ground. However, they were not injured, and with words of praise to God for the protecting care of the angels, they again mounted the high seat and proceeded on their journey. 2 weeks after these battles and victories, the enemy made another attack on the James White home. This time, Clarissa Bonfoy was the one afflicted. In answer to fervent prayer, she was healed. Hiram Edson, who had been with them for a few days, laid his hand upon her, and in the name of the Lord and in faith claimed the divine promise. She was made whole, and with a loud voice gave glory to God. In a vision given a few days later, it was revealed to Mrs. White that the severe afflictions that had recently come upon the family were the work of Satan, who was determined to hinder the publication of the paper. When he saw that his power was broken on the child, he laid hold of the father, and would have afflicted him unto death had not God set bounds to his power. She was also shown that it had been the plan of the enemy to take their lives as they went from Oswego to Volney, by causing them to be thrown from the wagon, but that heavenly angels had protected them. Angel arms were spread beneath them and saved them from injury. In a letter to Mrs. Joseph Bates, written September 1, 1850, Mrs. White said, "The enemy has tried hard to take some of our lives here of late. One after another of us have been afflicted almost unto death. Had it not been for the balm in Gilead and the physician there, we must have perished. The Lord showed me, some weeks before we came to this place, that we must gird on the whole armor, for we were to have a great conflict with the enemy while we were getting out the paper. For he knew the paper, the Advent Review, would hurt his cause, and would be the means of strengthening the things that remain, and would cause souls that were undecided to take a decided stand for God and his truth. Satan meant to hinder the work of the paper by causing sickness and distress in our company, but we laid hold of the sure promises of God. We anointed with oil in the name of the Lord, and prayed over the sick, and they were healed. Oh, what battles we have had to fight with the enemy since we commenced to get out the paper! We have had to pray, 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 and have faith, 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 and that is all the way we have been enabled to live. I know you will rejoice with me when I tell you we have the perfect entire victory over the powers of darkness. We triumph in God today, for we have just had a rich, full drought from the well of Bethlehem. I will now write you a dream which I had about 1 week ago. I dreamed of being with Brother Rhodes and James in a wagon. We were to pass a bridge covered with water. While passing it, I was much frightened, for the water came into the body of the wagon. I had my babe in my arms. I came near letting him fall into the water through fright. Brother Rhodes assured me a number of times that there was no danger and that we must necessarily pass through that water that covered the bridge. After we had passed over the bridge through the water, my eyes were fixed upon something in the air that looked very strange to me. I saw angels marching through the air. They had light mantles on their shoulders that reached to their feet, and they were singing in solemn, clear voices, "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand?" Their voices rang all through the air. Brother Rhodes began to shout with a loud voice, "And shall I see him whom my soul loveth?" James was counting the angels, and I stood trembling with fear, lest I should not be able to stand. My mind ran back to my past life. I could see in it many wrongs, and I could see no way that I could be saved. Just then Satan came where I was, and said to me, "You are now my property. You are lost, and you will go with me to the dark regions." My feelings I cannot describe to you. I was filled with anguish unutterable. I knew that Jesus was all my joy, and to be separated from him was more than I could endure, and at the same time I felt unworthy to be with the lovely Jesus. While I was thus in awful perplexity, one of the angels that were marching through the air came where I was and said to Satan, "She is not your property. She has been redeemed unto God by the precious blood of Jesus. She is the purchase of his blood, and he will save her." Then the enemy fled, and my heart was filled to overflowing with thankfulness and praise to God. I saw the saints, that their garments would change, and they would receive the mantle, and their faces would light up as they would meet the angels in the air. I looked around and saw some sleeping. Oh, how I felt as I saw some who now profess to be with us, asleep as I saw them. I said, "Poor souls, they had heard of Jesus coming, and that the day of his wrath was very soon to come. But as time went on a little longer than they expected it would, they have lost their interest. Stupidity has crept over them, and now they slumber, never to awake again. They ought to have watched, and then they would have seen the angels." This dream has made a great impression on my mind. I hope it will cause me to double my diligence to make my calling and election sure. In August 1868, a thrilling dream of similar import was given to Mrs. White, which may be read with profit in connection with the foregoing. It portrayed the experience of the Adventist people in several stages of their journey to the Holy City. It is entitled "An Impressive Dream," and is recorded in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, pages 594 to 597.